Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.
In Chicago this week, traders ignored the wet weather and the burgeoning demand for ethanol. The price of corn finished lower. Hard to believe, but it's true. We'll find out why today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
And welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with University of Illinois Extension ag economist Daryl Good. Our panelists today are Dale Durkles of AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois. Brian Maple of FC Stone in Indianapolis and Indiana should join us, along with Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Well, let's open today's discussion with this question. The corn market seems to be in a sideways trading pattern, volatile as it might be. How long might you expect this trading range to hold? I'm seeing something like a 30-cent wide range with these futures on the bottom end right now.
You know, that's a difficult question to answer, you know, how long the range itself might hold. But I think the one thing is we have to realize we've already liquidated out a lot of these long spec fund positions at this juncture. And so I think even if we tend to break down even a little bit below the low end, I don't think there's going to be a lot of follow-through selling. I think the real game at this point is just a matter of coming in and day by day, week to week now, taking a look at the weather forecast and understanding where planting is at and asking yourself, you know, is this going to become a real factor? Because we are now with 1st of May upon us, down to crunch time.
And Dale Durkles, of course, is with AgriVisor Services in Bloomington, Illinois. Pete Manhart?
Yeah, I would have to agree that it's basically due to the weather and the planting pace. And, we had a nice planting area for 3 or 4 days in central Illinois, not many other places. But then we had the rains and continued talk about people planting next week. I don't know where that's going to happen. It's not going to happen from central Illinois east.
From the corn pit in Chicago this week, the nearby May contract at a high of 380.5, a low at 349.25. Their settlement price was up 3.75 cents from last week at $3.64.25. December contract was off 7.25 at $3.67.5 from last week. So what happened to this ethanol euphoria we've all heard and loved for a while? Or is it simply time to think about supply rather than demand?
You know, I think what you hit a nail on the head there. You know, we've kind of shifted away a little bit from talk and focus on the sole thing of ethanol at this point. We've had the hard break in the market. We've seen some questioning about how quick these new plants are going to become online. It's kind of fed or allowed some of this easiness to persist here at this point. But with the new growing season now upon us, we've got a trade that's really looking much more so at supply-oriented factors, and those are always a lot easier for people to look at and understand than demand-side factors as it is.
Tell me about the wet weather in Iowa, Minnesota, northern parts of Illinois. How much of a problem you think it might be in the long run?
I think it's a big problem right now. You know, we were kind of frantic 10 days ago and then had 3 or 4 days of planting in central Illinois, but in a lot of those areas, very little got done. And with all the weather that went through in the last few days, I don't see much getting done for the next week, and then we have more rain coming. So I think it's going to be a big problem as far as getting the corn in early.
You know, when you take a look at this last week's moisture maps, even though we think, you know, maybe we got some good rains here in central Illinois, we had even heavier rains when you get out into Iowa with some places upwards of 7 inches. And when you look at average precip over or percent of normal precip over the last 7 days, you see northern Illinois. But especially when you get into Iowa, Nebraska, parts of Minnesota, the Dakotas, that's anywhere from 200, 250 up to as much as 600% of normal. I mean, these people just got tons of water. There are good pockets out there, like along the northern edge in northwestern Iowa that didn't get the deluge in the middle of last week, but we are not going to get a lot done in the early part of this week, it doesn't look like.
As an FYI, Iowa was 8% planted last week. The five-year average there is 18%. Last year, they were 23% planted as of last week. This coming week, Iowa was 63% planted last year, and they have a five-year rolling average of 42%. By the way, that's the same and matches the 42% national average for this coming Monday's crop production or crop update reports, which are due out on Monday afternoon. Now, let's talk about selling new and old crop
before
corn.
You get off, a lot of people are thinking that crop progress number is going to be 21 to maybe up as high as 30%, but I think a lot of people are in the mid-20s.
Okay, let's talk about old crop and new crop corn sales. Start with the old crop. I don't want to hear how far along you are, just whether or not you, if you owned old crop corn, if you would be prepared to make sales, and then the same for new crop, please.
On old crop right now, I would hold it. If you looked at this week, the old crop today was, I think, on Friday, it was only like down a quarter, and it actually was up part of the day. So I think, and the basis is really at places they're paying over for old crop. So I think old crop is very tight. I would not be selling any old crop right now.
I think I'd go along with Pete on that game. I think given the price level we've had, we go back to the early part of April when we really set our low on nearby corn and actually on a cash chart too. That was the 10-week low. And so that says we've got a window in here yet where we probably ought to be seeing the corn market show at a minimum some more sideways action, and it still feeds the odds that we probably got a little bit more lift to the upside somewhere along in here. So then we come back in on Monday, and weather forecasters still saying we're not going to get a lot done this week. We'll probably reverse then what we saw on Friday.
That's all on the supply side. Let's talk a little bit about demand. The ICG, the International Grain Council this week, said the 07-08 corn crop around the globe will be a bin buster at a record-shattering 746 million metric tons, but that very strong demand would actually shrink the world carryout for the third year in a row to a mere 94 million tons. You can read all the details in our weekend newsletter. Sign up, by the way, at willag.org. That's willag.org. Does this give you hope that despite the fallback in the corn prices, that futures will be remaining strong for the next marketing season?
You know, I don't think you can really ignore that. The one thing that the people need to step back and understand is that when you look at coarse grains in the world, you basically look at stocks to use or days of supply at the end of the growing season, and this year we're going to be tighter than we were back in the tight years of the early 1970s. And at best, we're probably not going to get a lot more comfortable, and you take a structure like they talk about where it's going to get arguably a little bit tighter again. It says, we have no cushion in here, ladies and gentlemen, and we need to respect that, and that's price supportive.
Yeah, the usage is the big thing. We're using and using more than, and as a result, prices should have good chances to rebound higher. So I would, on new crop, also be holding that and waiting for higher prices down the road.
May oats this week at the Chicago Board of Trade were up 7 cents at $2.65 a bushel. The wheat finished like this: the nearby May contract 519.75 the high, the low at 79.5 in the $4 range, and the May contract in the wheat at $5.50 finished a penny and a half higher from last week. July futures, your harvest month, down 2.25 at 512.5. A new contract high, by the way, in the July wheat futures this week at $5.30, but not in the nearby May. Still both finished well off their weekly tops. Does this mean the Easter freeze did far less damage than many had first suspected?
It's still unknown. If you go out and look at wheat plants, you don't know what's wrong with them. You don't know what they're going to do. And part of the reason they went back down this week was they took part of the heat out of the Texas-Oklahoma area that helped push it up, because the heat will make that damaged wheat worse. And if you're a crop adjuster and go out to adjust a wheat field, if it's not headed, you really don't know what it's going to do. So it's still there as an idea that damage is there. It's unknown what it'll be. The big factor is going to be how much of that will be torn up. How many million acres will be torn up and put to something else?
You know, I think two things come into play in here. When you look at a wheat plant, physiologically, you have to understand we did damage. We did it to that primary shoot to come out, but wheat will also have secondary tillers. And with the moisture we have there, and certainly without the heat, you know, those secondary tillers can come along and we can still end up with a respectable yield out of it. Another thing that's coming into the mix in here that's kind of unclear at this point in time, but some of the things we kind of pick up when you talk to people in the insurance side of the equation is that, you know, some producers are looking at, well, I'm not going to get a great insurance payment out of this wheat maybe at this point. So, you know, they're really kind of inclined to go ahead, let it grow out, and especially here in the Corn Belt in the Mid-South, and basically come back in with a traditional double crop and go, you know, I really, if I can get a decent crop out of it, I'm still money ahead rather than ripping it up and taking the insurance payment.
Does that mean that they're not going to take the insurance payment and then come back and put it under crop insurance for corn? Can they do that?
No, that, you know, you
is that right?
Well, it's really a mix. If you take the insurance payment, then you can't harvest anything off that wheat itself. I mean, you can't even take silage off of it. You really have to just kill it down with chemical or mow it down, whatever.
Then you can come back
and plant it into corn, providing you already have an insurance policy that covers corn. You can't take out a new corn policy if you don't have an existing one, because you don't have those acreage numbers sent in until July. So you could do that, but if you take a payment on a wheat policy, that reduces any potential payment you may get out of a corn policy later on.
Let's say you get a 30% payment on your wheat because they really can't adjust, and they'll just say, we agree to pay you this amount. Then on your corn policy, the most you could get is an additional up to, you know, you couldn't get that 30% again.
Better talk about the soy complex for the wheat nearby May, or for the wheat, the nearby May contract is 733 high. The low at 708.5, May settled at $7.23.25, and they were off a quarter for a week. $7.23, and they were off a quarter from last week. November beans at 766.5 were down 1. Central Illinois cash prices are below $7 a bushel. The South American crop is nearly in and a good one, and they're likely to put more bean acres in next season, I guess. Is $6.90 a decent old crop price, and where would you make new crop sales, if any?
I would be holding right now to get through this mess of the weather. I think part of the reason the beans are up is because people are worried about whether we'll get corn acres planted or not. I think $7 is a good price for beans. Fundamentally, there's really not any reason for beans to be where they're at. But we don't know what the new crop's going to be. We don't know what we're going to grow. And as a result, the price is held up.
We should throw the fundamental question off to Daryl and let him try to explain it. One thing I will say about beans, we have a fairly active 16-week trading cycle in beans, and we're really in a window here, and we have been, where that trading cycle might be getting ready to bottom. So I think that's telling us technically a little bit's getting ready to happen. Beans continue, as they've been all year, to really be a market that's traded as a function of the other two. It really hasn't done anything to justify where it is, albeit we do have a very strong edible oil market, not only here in the U.S., but especially out in the world. We've got some really strong prices going on, and I think that's providing levity people didn't expect.
Is there any reason to believe that the increase in the price of crude oil will have an impact on soybean prices as it has in the past?
It may a little bit in here, because today you basically are sitting here, and even more importantly, you know, we're looking at crude oil and we're looking at gasoline or diesel fuel, you know, because all this biodiesel talk, and you know, you got this sentimental pull in the energies that's always coming back into the agriculturals at this point.
I think it's the edible oils pulling more than the crude, but we still, you know, the biodiesel is at a very minimal part right now. That 10 years from now might be something as a factor, but right now isn't that huge a factor.
Over at the Mercantile Exchange, May lean hogs had a high this week of 76.80, a low at 74.30. Settlement price down $2.12.5 at 74.45 in the nearby May contract. May bellies at $100.95 were off $4.05. April live cattle at 97.47.5 on their top, the bottom at 95.35. They settled $97.20 a hundredweight, up $1.57.5, and a new lead for the feeder cattle in the May contract now, 108.55. They were up 150 this week. Purdue Ag economist Chris Hurt suggested that the herd size, breeding herd size, might fall in the next big report from the United States Department of Agriculture. Do you, Dale, agree with that assessment?
I think that's a possibility at this particular juncture, but you know, when you step back a minute and you start looking at some things, you sit there and go, well, we haven't seen a lot of changes here at this point in time, so why are we going to be seeing much ahead? So I'm not so certain it's going to be a huge shift.
In 2 minutes, we'll talk with agricultural economist from the University of Illinois, Daryl Good.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Warm spring weather finally got a foothold in Illinois this week, with temperatures averaging above normal across the entire state. The week began dry, but heavy rain fell across the northern half of Illinois as a series of low pressure waves moved along a stalled cold front. Temperatures this week were as much as 9 degrees above normal across the southern third of Illinois, but still 4 to 6 degrees above normal in the north, which did spend more time on the cold side of the front. The warm and dry weather of the first part of the week allowed spring planting to go into high gear before the onset of rain Tuesday night and Wednesday. The rain was heaviest this week across the northern half of Illinois, where 1.5 to 2.5 inches of rain were common, and as much as 4 inches of rain fell along and north of I-80 in northeastern Illinois. Joliet and much of southern Will County received more than 3.5 inches of rain, according to Cooperative Observer and Kokoroz rainfall reports. Warm weather will bring in the month of May next week, with highs probably topping the 80-degree mark on Monday and perhaps Tuesday. Some showers and thunderstorms could return, especially to central and southern Illinois, by Tuesday night or Wednesday as a weak cold front sags into Illinois. However, with the development of a weak upper-level ridge over the Midwest, the showers and thunderstorms should remain scattered. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to Commodity Week. This is WILL AM 580 in Urbana. Our panelists today in studio are Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and Dale Durkles of AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois. And our guest is Daryl Good, University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist. Good afternoon to you, Daryl.
How you doing, Todd?
I'm doing very well. Tell me about the risk management tools farmers have deployed this year, the crop insurance, and how they should view those as they go about marketing new crop commodities.
Can you clarify that a little bit?
Well, I want to know if they've got their an RA product, what they need to do with new crop commodities.
Yeah, I guess there's various ways to look at that, Todd. But one way is to think if you've got a income policy to kind of view that as a bit of a put option. That's the way I would view it. That you have a minimal revenue guarantee and kind of the way we used to look at the loan rate. As long as the price is below the loan rate, we're not too aggressive of selling, and as long as the market price is below your revenue guarantee, it gives you some flexibility to postpone that decision until you get opportunities at higher prices.
Pete here. Let's talk about trend yields a little bit. Are they increasing faster than at a faster rate, and if so, why? And will we even get to trend yield this year with our worries about our planting pace?
Excellent question. I think clearly over the last 10 years, trend yields have been increasing at a bit of a faster rate than they were even since 1960, or whether you start that trend at 1975. But I think the important question, Pete, is why has that happened? And when you look at that closely, what you see is that yields have been increasing a little faster, primarily because we've had better weather conditions on average over the last 10 years than the previous 20. There's no evidence at this point that we've seen a technological advance that would push those yields at a higher rate. When you correct for weather, you find that the trend really has not been any higher in the last 10 years. So it's kind of an anomaly a little bit, but I think it is important in that it helps establish what do you think the trend yield is for 2007. Just looking at the last 10 years, people tend to want to use something, 153 to 155 bushels. But if you recognize that it's really been just a matter of better than normal weather, that pushes your trend calculation back down to 148, 149. And so now the question is, do we have an opportunity to reach the trend, whatever that is? And And I think as long as we get the majority of the crop planted in the first half of May and then follow that with a respectable July and August, we can still reach trend. Clearly, we're increasing the risk at this point and maybe ruling out probabilities of exceeding trend yield this year.
Darrell, as an interesting aside to go along with that, I've noticed looking at planting progress data for corn, and I'm looking nationwide, not any particular state, that we've tended to push our planting forward here over the last especially 10 or 15 years now, and we're getting more and more of this crop planted in April, the last 3 years really being just an exaggeration of it maybe. But do you think this earlier planting has had some impact on what's been happening with trend yield too?
Possibility, but statistically it does not show up, Dale. When you try to correlate a planting date, it really does not show up statistically. The thing that really stands out as really explaining yields are the old standbys. That's July and August temperature and rainfall, and that's where yields are made if you get the crop in the ground in a reasonable window. And I personally think that's a pretty wide window that we can still get trend with what we might nowadays consider to be a little bit of a late planting.
Aside on that, when you talk about reasonable planting, are you talking like May 15th, May 20th, May 25th? Any special time frame in there of having it all in the ground or 60% of it in the ground?
Yeah, I think probably no magic date, but we'd really like to see it all in the ground by May 20th. I think if we're going to hold open an opportunity for trend yields, we get much of the crop planted after that, then I think the odds go down pretty fast.
Darrell, there's another thing that kind of goes along with this, and this goes back into the whole planting question, because it seems like over the course of the last couple of weeks, especially at the Chicago Board of Trade, and there's been some articles out in some of the commodity wires about big equipment. And the belief on some of the traders on the floor of the exchange are that, you know, because of this big equipment that we can get this crop in the ground a lot faster. Statistically, do you see any evidence that really is or can have an impact?
Well, it all boils down to what kind of opportunity do you have to use that big equipment. Certainly, if weather was cooperative, I think can clearly get the crop planted faster than we could, 15 years ago with the kind of equipment we have now. But you have to think through this a little bit. Once a few people get finished planting, then it's hard to maintain your rate of increase in planting because you got fewer people out there now planting on a weekly basis, if that makes any sense. And I know in this immediate area, Champaign County, I suspect we got most of the corn planted in front of the storm. So now those folks are not adding to the weekly progress that will be reported. So it's going to be a little slower, I think, than the market anticipates. I think you're right that they have this belief that may not be quite accurate out there in reality.
On the trend yields, obviously you put quite a bit of thought of that into that and some work. Will there be papers due at some point that we'll be able to come to FarmDoc or someplace else and take a look at?
Yeah, we'll be putting out some information on that, maybe not in the most timely fashion, but yet this summer we'll see quite a bit of work out on looking at it on a state-by-state basis and really trying to dig into some of the work that was done in the 60s and 70s and kind of bringing that up to date, I think will shed quite a bit of light on this whole issue.
So we can imagine to see that not only for Illinois, but for most of the Midwest then?
Well, we're really concentrating. Illinois, Indiana, and Iowa are the state data that we're looking at.
With all the information you get in here, what's your forecast for the growing season, or do you have one?
I don't really have a forecast for the growing season. I think at this point, I think it's encouraging that here late in the week that the weather models are suggesting that we probably are going to get an extended period of dry weather, that There is a bit of a high ridge moving in, probably going to keep the rain further south than what's being forecast right now. I personally feel we're going to get it planted in pretty good shape. National Weather Service 90-day forecast is not too scary. So right now, you'd have to say there's pretty good odds we're going to be looking at a trend yield in 2007, but we're certainly not there yet.
Daryl, we appreciate you being with us.
Okay, Todd.
Daryl Good, Extension Ag Economist from the University of Illinois, just walking into the studio, made the quick trip from Indianapolis. We want to give him just a quick chance to tell us about his feelings in the market. We've got maybe 2 minutes, and it's all yours. Brian Maple, talk about corn, beans, and wheat for me.
Well, wheat's going to continue to stay dicey with the world situation where it is. I tend to think that wheat's still of value, that I would go ahead and get wheat sold up in these price levels. I can't see hanging on to it. Corn, you're going to see one, probably two to three more opportunities to sell corn at higher price levels, so I don't get too concerned about corn. Bean market is getting down to where, well, we might have a little bit more to the downside, but I probably can't be a seller down here. I'd look for a little bit higher price levels.
And what do you think in the past week has been the most important function in the marketplace? Was it the new highs in the wheat or something else?
I think what you have to look at this week has been cash markets have been extremely aggressive. So I like the cash side of it. You probably want to start looking at basis levels if you're still holding old crop commodity.
Tell me more about that.
Basis levels have appreciated probably 10 to 15 cents over the last 2 to 3 weeks. The cash, if we're going to have another bull market, probably it's going to be driven by the cash market. Cash market's starting to get firmed up, and I like the looks of that.
For all three commodities, or are we talking?
Yeah, because there's nothing moving. More so on the corn and beans than it is the wheat. But the corn and bean markets have gotten extremely hot.
Everybody else agree with that idea, potentially?
Yeah, they have. When you stop and look back here in the interior, the only thing that you really have to be a little careful about is things down at the Gulf occasionally have gotten a little bit sloppy at this point. Another thing that's going on that is something people need to be aware of, not often talked about, ocean freight is up pushing to record highs when you talk about bulk freighters. And some of the buyers out there in the world are getting a little bit hesitant about chasing the market because of that.
All right. We appreciate everybody being long with us. Final words from you, and make them very short. Dale?
Right now, I think one thing to keep an eye on is inflation indicators, and it seems like they're wanting to burst up a little bit, and the dollar's weakening.
Dale Durkles of AgriVisor, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities.
Be ready to sell on bumps up on both corn and beans, but be a holder for right now.
And Brian Maple of FC Stone.
Totally agree with Pete. Sell the rallies, but no need to move it yet.
And that wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. We'd like to thank our panelists in studio, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Dale Durkles of AgriVisor Services from Bloomington, Illinois, and Brian Maple of FC Stone out of Indianapolis, Indiana, along with our guest this week, Daryl Good from University of Illinois. Something to keep in mind, you can access this Commodity Week program and analysis throughout the week on demand on your computer. Our site on the World Wide Web is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find Commodity Week, weekly analysis, cash grain reports, weather, and feature interviews with agricultural newsmakers. I'm Todd Gleason.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at willuiuc.edu.